Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the, is this the eighth podcast?
Sounds good.
Sounds good to me, yeah. We decided to do this at 10 o'clock in the morning this time.
Wednesday morning, so you can know about the comics before you go to the store.
It's Friday morning.
Ding!
So let's see. I'm Kevin.
I'm Jared.
I'm Nick Pluto Nash Liapis.
It's true, yeah. I am Kevin Panetta. And we're here to do the podcast. We'll see how this goes this week. Nick's drinking coffee.
That's good stuff.
I drank some soda.
I'm barely awake.
Jared's barely awake. All right, so some basic stuff. Well, let's tell people we all saw Captain America.
We did.
USA.
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 Jared, you hate the USA?
I can't do
Jared's
it.
French.
I'm not French.
This A does not stand for France, Jared.
Hydra's got such snazzy uniforms.
They do. It was awesome.
It was
awesome. Red Skull was in it.
Yep.
That is a discussion we've just had. It was awesome.
And there were two minutes of Avengers footage after the credits, so that was awesome as well.
Oh, my God. I almost cried.
Did you almost cry?
I did cry.
If they take a few more of those images and actually splice them to like some video footage, that could be a great movie.
Wait, what are you talking about?
I was like, here's a still image. Oh, wait. It's no. Oh, here's another one.
That isn't what happened at all. There was like a lot of footage.
Yeah,
it was all footage.
It was very short.
Well, yeah, but there's no special effects done. So.
It cut very quickly.
All right, so basic things. Check us out on Facebook. We're on Facebook.
Yeah.
Just look us up.
Facebook.com/BigPlanetComics.
Big Planet Comics. You can always subscribe to our podcast on iTunes.
Yeah.
And if you guys have any questions or comments, send them to podcast@BigPlanetComics.com.
Good. Sounds good.
And then next time, we're not going to do this at 10 o'clock in the morning.
All right.
I'm half asleep.
Yeah. I think we all sound like idiots right now. All right, so let's get right into news. I think that's like the news thing now, right?
Yeah.
That's our klaxon that signifies that the news
the
is about
to happen.
The
siren song of the
news. All right, so the world made news easy for us this week because
what happened?
Because there was a little thing called Comic-Con.
Comic-Con, yeah.
Comic can do anything.
Wait, Comic-Con. Comic-Con it was called.
Yeah, whatever.
San Francisco Comic-Con.
San Francisco?
No, San Diego Comic-Con.
I thought we're not down with those West Coast guys.
Anyway, so Newsarama. They're a comic book webpage. They did their 10 biggest Comic-Con announcements.
Yeah.
So we're going to go ahead and go through those right now. You guys ready?
Let's do it.
I am ready.
How big are they?
Number 10. I don't think I'm going to do that between every single one. This is going to take forever. And Jared has to go to work in 40 minutes. So
it's a race against the clock. Let's do it.
It's a race against the clock.
Go.
All right. Number 10. J. Michael Straczynski announces that the 12 is finished.
Oh, my God. I'm so excited. That's the most exciting
thing. Yeah. That's not the most exciting thing on this list because it's only number 10.
Well, it's the second most exciting thing. Number one is the most exciting thing. But the 12 was a series by Straczynski. It was like about superheroes from the 40s that had been unfrozen and came back to life.
12 of them.
12 of them. Hence the name of the 12. And yeah, what did they do? 6 issues?
It was
I think they did eight.
Yeah. It was him and Chris Weston.
We looked it up.
And it was supposed to be 12 issues altogether, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
And so now supposedly the final four are done.
Yes, I'm really excited.
Or almost done.
yeah.
But I think it should be coming out pretty soon.
Like he had drawn them already.
So not right, written, right. So,
promising.
So yeah, hopefully we're going to see that pretty soon. So that's exciting.
Next.
Number 9 is not as exciting to me. Matt Wagner. He's joining Legendary Comics.
Oh.
Which is the company that's putting out Holy Terror and...
Holy Terror.
Yeah, by Frank Miller, which we talked about before. Wagner is famous for Mage and Grendel. And it's not like he hasn't been doing comics recently, though, so this isn't that exciting to me.
What has he done recently?
Well, he's writing like Death of Zorro now, isn't he?
Yeah, that Batman comic.
Yeah.
No, he's doing the new Zorro. He didn't write Death of Zorro.
Oh. Well, he did some Zorro.
Yeah.
Did he?
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
But he's back.
Yay.
He's back.
Okay, so let's keep moving on. Oh, but Simon Bisley's doing art on that, so that's kind of cool.
Interesting.
Number 8. This is interesting to me. Ferrist, which is an all-new ongoing series in the Fables universe, and it's spotlighting female characters.
Oh, yeah.
It's launching with a 3-issue story arc focusing on Sleeping Beauty.
Oh, the Ferris, like the Ferris in the Land, not like Ferris Bueller.
Yeah.
That makes more sense.
The Ferris. Yeah. No, not like that.
Or Ferris wheel.
We're probably not going to be very funny this morning.
No, I'm sorry.
Funny. Yeah.
How about you?
You're fine?
Yeah.
We need like applause. Should I just press one of these random sound effects I have on here and see what happens?
Yes, do it.
that was really bad. Okay, so that's cool. I mean, most of the spinoffs has been good. Jack of Fables, it had some rocky,
started good,
some rocky areas.
Yeah,
but the Cinderella stuff has been awesome.
Yeah, a lot of this is actually so they can keep doing Cinderella stuff without having to put out like a series of miniseries. Just like when they want to do one, they'll just throw it in this.
Yeah,
and one thing about Fables is Willingham has written a lot of really strong female characters
and
in that
just
series.
A lot of great characters in general. Certainly a lot of stories to be told.
Yeah, so. I mean Snow White, Beauty.
Yeah, Rose Red and Cinderella, and all the Goldilocks and all the witches. Yeah, yeah. So it's been that's cool. I think that's cool. Here's an exciting one: IDW and DC team up for. Do you guys know what it is?
Yes, I do.
What is it, Nick?
Is it Legion Star Trek?
It's Legion of Superheroes Star Trek.
Is it Next Generation Star Trek or?
Ooh, that's a good question.
No, I think it's Star Trek the original series.
Oh, that's even better.
Yeah,
that is
as long as it's not Enterprise.
Yeah, true.
But I could see this working. I mean, Legion is in space. Star Trek is in space.
It's a strange mix of both, styles, I'll say, but yeah.
They both travel through time.
And they both have spaceships.
Do they? Yeah, I guess so.
They both wear capes. Why not?
Does the Legion have spaceships?
They don't have spaceships. This is not going to work.
I think they might. I don't know. But Star Trek has crossed over before, right? There was Infestation, of course, last year.
There's
right.
an X-Men one.
There was the Star Trek The Next Generation X-Men crossover, right? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Did they go in the Wildstorm universe, too? I feel like Star Trek's done a lot of cool.
Well, I know the Aliens. Aliens won in the Wildstorm universe. Didn't they kill Stormwatch?
They killed almost everyone in Stormwatch.
Which is pretty crazy. Okay, so, you know, it's going to be goofy. I'm going to read it.
Yeah, I hope all the Legions have, like, mustaches. That'd be pretty cool.
Oh, if they're, like, the Mirror Universe ones, that'd be excellent.
So of all the news, these next two items, to me, are the least newsy of all. Right. So Marvel's reveals post-Fear Itself plans. It's going to be called Battle Scars, and it's going to be similar to Dark Reign and Initiative. So basically, whenever Marvel has a big event,
they're going
to
continue it.
Yeah, for the next year, they have sort of the aftermath of that event, and then they do another big event.
Yeah,
and they're going to do that again.
Yeah, yeah.
But it usually works pretty well. I mean, Dark Reign was cool. The Dark Avengers was cool. And
the coolest thing about this is that picture of Hulk. It's like a Hulk with a beard and long hair and like gold chains. It looks like Mr. T.
I'm colorblind. Which Hulk was it?
The Green Hulk.
Oh.
And the Green.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I don't know what that's all about. But anyway, so that's not news to me. This other one's not news to me, too. Number five.
Halfway there.
It only works. Oh, yeah, there we go. Halfway there. That's why I did that.
I'm helping.
So the DCNU, it's not the DCU anymore. Now it's the DCNU.
That sounds kind of insulting.
They're diversified, according to themselves, because the new Justice League Adam is Ryan Choi, who they murdered, and now he's alive again.
Yeah.
So they're spreading out to being like, you know, fans of ours who are like dead. They don't have a character they can root for, so we want some dead people on the team.
Well, he's back alive, and
he's alive.
He is Korean, so that's news. I think even saying that's news is kind of a more offensive than not having an Asian on the team.
Feels like they were like, we need an Asian hero. Which Asian hero? Oh, God, we killed him. Let's bring him back.
Bring him back to life. We need some more diversity.
Are there any minorities we haven't murdered? None of them are left alive.
I know how we can be diverse. Let's only have one female writer in our whole roster.
Well, at least she's white, right?
Anyway, all right, so number four, Jason Aaron and Mark Silvestri are bringing back The Incredible Hulk. The funny thing about that is, though, The Incredible Hulk is coming out right now.
Yeah.
It's just called The Incredible Hulks.
Yeah.
But it's still about Bruce Banner and the Hulk.
Yeah. It's ending for like 2 months and then coming back.
Yeah. This is about as exciting as the Uncanny X-Men relaunch that's happening.
Yeah. It's like the next week. Yeah.
It's like Uncanny X-Men is ending. And then we're gonna put out a new book. It's going to be called Uncanny X-Men.
Yeah. It starts 2 weeks later.
Yeah. Incredible Hulks is ending. Get ready for Incredible Hulk.
Although this is going to be awesome. This is Jason Aaron.
Yeah.
It will be great.
It's also Mark Silvestri.
Yeah. Silvestri is pretty good.
The art looks okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. But. Jason Aaron's great. He does Scalped. We talk about Jason Aaron a lot. If you guys listen to this, you probably know who he is. But yeah, he's awesome. So,
I love you, Jason Aaron.
God, the news keeps getting less and less important. As the numbers get lower, you would think, you know, as you get closer to one, the news would get cooler and cooler.
We should have renumbered these.
But at number three, Jeff Loeb and Ed McGuinness are doing a new Cable series.
Oh, what? Cable Reborn, baby.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wait, isn't he dead too?
Who, Ed McGuinness?
No.
The funny thing is.
Yeah, no, Cable died. Cable.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the funny thing is, I was like, oh, man, Cable just died, blah, blah, blah. And then I was like, Jeff Loeb and McGuinness. And then I was thinking about it. And I was like, Jeff Loeb wrote, like, the best, some of the best Cable issues way back in the day.
He wasn't writing it when LeDron was doing the art.
Around that time.
Oh,
yeah.
Right. Yeah. Maybe he was.
I think that was Joe Casey, though.
Joe Casey did some of it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And that stuff was cool. LeDron, the Elephant Man artist. Yeah, I always get Joe Casey and Joe Kelly mixed up. Sorry, you guys.
Yeah.
One is a man of action and one is, I would assume, a lazy bastard.
Yeah.
But
I'll let you guess which is which.
So yeah, I don't know. Jeff Loeb hasn't been doing his best work of late, but Ed McGuinness is always kind of fun to look at.
Yeah,
all his characters look like action figures.
Yeah, it's news.
They do. Yeah.
All right, so moving on to two. Well, this is a little bit better. Six Gun, a podcast favorite,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
which is like a Western horror thing. It's becoming a TV show.
Oh, that's awesome.
That is awesome. Sadly, I was just thinking to myself, this is actually probably so bad of a list because everything else was about TV and movies, and excitingly, this is about a TV show.
Although I feel like there was more comic stuff this year than usual.
Yeah.
I will say that. It seemed like there was a lot of video game stuff this year, oddly enough. Yeah. But a lot less movie stuff. Well, there's not really new Batman stuff to show. Avengers, they kind of showed their hand with that, you know, last week. So but the actual headline was television is the new movies because Six Gun, there's a Lock and Key TV show, which may or may not be happening, actually.
Yeah.
There's a show called AKA Jessica Jones, which is going to follow the plot line of Alias, comic book, not the TV show.
That's really weird.
There's the Hulk series that's produced by Guillermo del Toro.
And Wonder Woman.
And Wonder Woman did not happen. No. I tried to watch the Wonder Woman pilot. It leaked on the internet. It is really bad.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
We should watch that before next time.
It's like Ally McBeal, but with Wonder Woman running through the streets.
And a little dancing baby.
There is no dancing baby.
It's close to the Black Harbor.
There's a little dance.
I bet it was in like the second episode.
There's a little dancing Minotaur. and there's a Cloak and Dagger TV series too.
That's going to be awesome.
Yeah. That takes place in New Orleans.
Very strange. That's strange as well.
It's called it's called Cloak and Dagger on the second line.
Nice.
No, it's not at all. And the number one news, which to me is actually the number one news.
Yeah. It should be like number one news in the world.
Yeah. Is that Brian K. Vaughan, the author of Why the Last Man?
BKV in the
Ex Harleys. Machina.
And Ex Machina, and
Pride
of course,
of Baghdad, Runaways,
the Mystique miniseries.
Mystique,
that's my favorite. Well, it was a series, but it didn't last.
And the Spider-Man Doctor Octopus.
Oh yeah, Negative Exposure.
Yeah, yeah. He's most famous for that. But anyway, he's coming back to comics. I guess he couldn't get any more TV work, so he's coming back to the most maligned industry in the entire world. And so it's he's doing a book called Saga, and it's going to be published through Image Comics. Great. And it's got art by Fiona Staples, who I don't know.
Awesome.
Is she awesome?
I can't remember exactly what she drew, but
The art I've seen for this looks
really good.
And it's like it's an intergalactic war, crazy rebellion. He basically said it's his Star Wars.
Yeah. Epic science fiction.
Epic science fiction. So, and it's an ongoing. So,
which is also awesome.
Hopefully he'll do what he usually does, make it last about 75 issues or so, and come up with a good ending.
I think 60 is the new 75.
Is 60 the new 75? Well, we'll see what happens. All right, so that's it for news. That was a pretty big news thing, though, I feel
like.
That's
a lot of news, man.
Yeah. That was a lot of news. Well, that was 10 things.
Thanks, Newsarama.
Because it was the top 10 list.
11?
Thank you, Newsarama, and thank you, David Letterman, for popularizing the top 10 list.
It's true.
All right, so now we're going to move on to some listener mail.
Really? Who wrote us?
We got two letters this week.
Oh, nice.
The first one's from Ryan. He's a customer in Vienna. And his question is a little crazy, but you guys ready for this?
Crazy. Let's go.
All right. Hit me.
All right. So here's the scenario.
All right.
Dan Didio walks in. Is it Didio?
Sure.
Okay.
Didio?
I don't know. Dan Didio, who is the editor at DC Comics, basically.
He's something.
All right. I'm just going to get into this. Here we go. Dan Didio walks into the Vienna store with a gun and says, I'm nervous about this DCNU launch, especially with Scott Lobdell writing one of the new books.
One of them.
I need you guys to help get the sales up for a title that isn't related to Batman or Green Lantern before the launch, or I will shoot myself.
Wow.
What do you recommend? Or do you let Dan Didio shoot himself?
Wow.
We
could do both.
I will start off by saying I don't agree with a lot of Dan Didio's editorial choices over the last few years.
Yep.
But I wouldn't let him shoot himself.
I mean, I wouldn't disagree with the choice.
That's terrible. I'm going to say, as our corporate stance, we're not going to let Dan Didio.
We're not
going
to let anyone shoot themselves in the store.
No, we'll let him do that. What title? Then I have
anything besides a Batman or Green Lantern
that's
title.
That's easy to do because we have several by Jeff Lemire, which would be very entertaining. Who's a really good writer, and we've got Grifter by the guy.
This is before the DCNU.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, like a
before
current series.
The launch.
So we have 1 month.
All right. So if I had to do it, here's what I would do. I would order a bunch of extra copies of Superboy number one by Jeff Lemire.
Yep.
And I would put them in all our subscribers' boxes. And I'm sure that would increase the sales because it's a really good book.
Why don't we do that? That's a great. Oh, it's canceled.
Yeah, it's kind of canceled.
Sort of.
Yeah, but they're moving him onto some other stuff, which is good. Yeah. So, do we all agree? Is that a good thing to do? Or do you guys have other plans? Do you have a plan B, a plan C?
Nah.
We could tackle
no plan B, no
call
plan
the police.
C.
Police, yeah.
Yeah, call the police. SWAT team. That's probably the best. Yeah, yeah. That's our best recommendation. If somebody walks into the place where you are and they threaten to shoot themselves, call the police.
Yeah.
Probably a good idea.
Yeah, probably a good idea. All right, so then we've got a second viewer mail here. It's from Mark. Mark sent us a viewer mail. Was that, or listener mail, was that last week? Maybe it was the week before. Anyway.
Sure.
Mark's a good buddy of ours, and he asked us, What was your impression of the Walking Dead TV show, and how do you think it will fare now that Frank Darabont is stepping down as showrunner?
I just read about this morning, and they said, yep, he's stepping down. Everyone else is staying on, and that's all they said. So, yeah. Pretty dodgy.
Yeah. It's weird, because there was another little kerfuffle. I think I did the kerfuffle thing before. I can't really say it. But
we'd fired his entire writing staff at one point, right?
Yeah, that's something that happened.
Before this new season.
And then they hired a bunch of new people. And one of the people he hired is this guy, Glenn Mazzara, who's going to be taking over the whole show now that he's leaving. Or
he
at least
just hired that guy.
He just hired him.
I did not know that.
So, yeah.
Well, you guess you shouldn't have hired that guy.
Yeah.
Like, to hire someone who's going to take my job. Wait a minute.
Let's start out with the first part of this.
Yes.
What was our impression of the Walking Dead TV show?
Very good.
Yeah, amazing. It's incredible. It's great.
You liked it wholehearted?
Was it astonishing?
Whole hog?
There was nothing I didn't like about it.
I had a few problems with it that made me feel like, I mean, I liked the show overall, but I felt like maybe there were a few things in it that indicated to me that Darabont didn't quite understand what makes Walking Dead good.
Would it be the CDC stuff? Or?
It was the Center for Disease Control stuff. My problem wasn't that it went off story, but my problem was that they spent a lot of time kind of trying to explain what it was, which is exactly the opposite of what Walking Dead is about to me. It's not about...
I don't know. I kind of felt like that was it was trying to explain it without actually explaining it, just to make people feel like they were trying to give them an explanation and then just not do anything. And then just everything just explodes and they leave.
Well, I mean, that's not a good excuse, though. Right. I mean, if they're just doing it because they want to make stupid people feel better. That's not a good reason to do something.
It's more of a tease.
Yeah.
It's to show them that you will never know. We might be able to find it. And then it's like, nope, everything exploded.
Yeah, I guess
so you're never going to find out.
No. I guess if you bend it around and look at it that way.
I think it's just raising the hopes of people who are like, oh, cool, now they're going to go to France and figure out what happened.
But I will say that's a very small complaint. Overall, I think the TV show is great. And but because of that little thing, for some reason, I'm not too worried about the fact that Frank Darabont is leaving.
Yeah, well, I don't know. We'll see.
They're keeping all the other people who are involved in the direction of the show, and Kirkman's still there.
Kirkman's still an executive producer.
Crazy
And they still have the actors, and the actors were all really good, I thought. And I don't know. I think it'll still be a good second season. Yeah.
As long as it's got zombies in it.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's also my thing of looking at this is it's not like Sopranos or something where there's some auteur who just this is his vision. This is based on a comic book, and the guy who's wrote the comic book is still involved in the TV show. They know where it's going. They have a lot to work with.
Exactly. Robert Kirkman is the real mastermind behind this, so I'm not too worried about it. Yeah, so that's listener mail for this week. If you guys have any questions or comments, always feel free to send them to podcast at Big Planet Comics, and we will read them on the air. And now it's time for reviews.
We love comics. They're swell, except when they're written by Scott Lobdell.
I prefer important books like Louis Riel.
It's time for reviews.
Yay!
Yeah, that's our review song, which we love. Okay, so first review, Amazing Spider-Man number 666 by Dan Slott and Stefano Caselli.
Yeah, I can't believe in
this
one.
Son of a devil.
Yeah, sold his soul to Mephisto. It was awful.
I know, they should have saved that storyline where Peter Parker sells his soul to Mephisto for issue 666.
This issue was awesome.
It was awesome.
It was really good.
So basically, Amazing Spider-Man's been good for a while. This is the prelude to the Spider-Island thing that's going on. And the main reason I wanted to talk about it as opposed to other issues is because we got a cool Thanks for Swinging By Big Planet Comics thing printed on the front cover.
Yep. So it's a special variant cover where it's got us on it. Basically.
So yeah. I mean, if you're looking for a jumping on point for Amazing Spider-Man, Spider Island is the story where most people in New York get spider powers. And this is kind of the intro to that. So it's a good jumping on point. And you should pick it up because it's got our name on it.
Yep.
It was really fun.
Yeah, that's about it. I mean, it's cool. So yeah. All right.
Right around.
Let's move on.
Next.
All right.
Yeah, there are quite a few books on here this week. So next is a book, Bombice Network.
Bombice?
Yeah, this is a new Humanoids graphic novel.
From Europe.
From the Europeans. It's by Cecil and Corbe Ron.
Both humanoids.
They're both humanoids.
Yep.
I can't remember. I think Corbe Ron drew and co-wrote the first half and then drew and wrote the second half completely. And Cecil... Wrote the first one, or whatever it was, or the other way around. But anyway, it's two different stories. Although the stories don't feel too different. Jared, you want to give people a little breakdown of what this is about?
It's set in the Victorian age, maybe 19th century. I can't remember, but
it seems like it. It seems old-timey. Like it's like Spring Heel Jack could pop up at any point.
Yeah, but in France, and it's following a criminal network of these guys who are the Bombus Network, who are basically like cat burglars who use zip lines and all kinds of cool things to go over the rooftops of the city of Paris and steal stuff. And then, of course, there's a crazy, you know, plot of, you know, people blackmailing and evil politicians and stuff. It's good.
Yeah, yeah. I only read the first half of it, but I really liked it. The art's very cool. It's very,
very art, yeah.
Very humanoids-ish, very detailed with very well-drawn landscapes. And it's, yeah, it's kind of a cool... It's like a story of two sort of lower-level criminals who have really clever ideas, but then kind of get too deep involved into something that they shouldn't
dark
be involved
really
in.
Quickly.
Yeah, it's yeah. There's some stuff with like a snuff film and somebody being blackmailed and yeah,
lots of politics and criminal networks and stuff. It was cool.
Yeah, but overall, one thing I will say about this: a lot of the humanoids books, I don't feel like they're translated very well.
True.
Or I don't feel like Jodorowsky, who usually writes them, is sometimes not the best writer, but. I felt like this was like a really well, concisely told story, really well done, and the translation was great. It was really easy to read.
Yeah, it was really cool.
I didn't read it, but it looks awesome.
That's Nick. So Nick says Thanks, a Nick. Definite buy.
Yep.
And Jared and I both read it, and we liked it a lot. Yeah, it was very good.
Really good. Much, cool. much very solid compared to a lot of imported stuff over the last few years.
All right, so moving on to the Cape number one. There was a Cape number zero that was basically the Cape number one.
Yeah, it's like the prologue.
And this is by
more part one.
This is written by Joe Hill, who is Stephen King's son. Isn't that right?
Yeah, he writes Lock and Key.
He writes Lock and Key, which is great. And this is drawn by Zach Howard, who I believe drew the Cape number zero. Is
yeah. that Ron Howard's son?
Also, I want to throw out that this is nothing to do with the TV show, The Cape.
Yeah, this is definitely nothing important. To do with the TV show, The Cape. Although I hear that Vinnie Jones' character from the TV show might make a cameo.
I hope so. Really.
That's not
the Juggernaut?
As the Juggernaut. Yeah, yeah. So, Nick, why don't you tell people what The Cape is about?
Well, there was a Cape one-shot a while back, so I don't mind spoiling it. But basically, it's about a guy who, when he was a little kid, he had a cape that he wore around. And he finds it later on in life, and he finds that it gives him the ability to fly, kind of gives him superpowers. And basically, he just uses it to kill his ex-girlfriend in the first issue.
Yeah, I think it definitely gives him, like, super strength as well, because that thing with the zoo.
He
carries heavy things in this issue.
And so this is a new miniseries kind of following up on that one-shot, and it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, basically, he seems like the guy is very petty, and he when he gets the superpower, he does what a lot of people do. And it's not he doesn't become some grand supervillain.
No.
He uses it to exact revenge on people that he thinks have wronged him.
Yeah.
In really... mean-spirited, childish ways.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting,
and it's really good. And where it goes in the first issue makes me want to read the second issue. And yeah, Joe Hill seems to be doing interesting stuff.
It's so. Definitely got one of the most amazing ways to kill somebody in this issue. That's all I'll say.
Agree.
I guess.
Yeah. So I think we all definitely recommend this book.
Yep.
All right, cool. Let's keep going because Jared, you got like 15 minutes, and you got to go to work. All right, here we go. Fear Itself, The Worthy, number one. By Christos Gage, Elia Benetti, Jeff Parker, Declan Chevley, Jen Van Meter, Clayton Henry, Frank Thierry, Eric Canetti, Greg Peck, Lee Weeks, Tom DeFalco, Mario Alberti, Tom Payer, Sergio Carielli, and Roberto Aguirre-Sacasa and Javier Pulido.
Do they each draw one page? What's going on?
Well, everything's like four or five. It's like all the Worthy, which are, how many of them are there? Like eight or seven? Nine?
Something like that. I don't know exactly how many there are, but that's around the amount. And each of these stories focuses on one of the characters. It's kind of like an origin story or like a story
it's
that
like a character
sort of
study.
Hints at why their character would be potentially chosen for this. I thought it was all pretty good, actually.
Yeah, almost all of them are really, really good.
But definitely the standout for me, Roberto Aguirre-Sacasa, who he wrote Spider-Man for a while. I wasn't a big fan of his stuff, but that might have been because Clayton Crane was drawing it. But the story he does in here is about The Thing, and it's with Javier Pulido.
Yeah.
Really good.
And it's amazing. I'm loving that this new Marvel House style is like these guys like Javier Pulido, Paolo Rivera, and Marcos Martin, who are doing this very Kirby, Steve Ditko kind of style.
Yes.
And it's awesome. So... it's worth picking up for that. And if you're interested in Fear Itself in general, I think this is probably the best thing that's come out that's not the main series.
Right, definitely.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Although The Deep has been pretty good as well. But it's great. So that's about it. I mean, it's not for everybody. If you're not reading Fear Itself, completely skip this. But I'd say if you're reading FF, it's worth checking out.
Yeah, true.
Just for The Thing story. But anyway, all right, let's move on to the next one. Gil Jordan, Private Detective, Murder by High Tide. This is one of two books that Fantagraphics put out this week that are... adaptations of or translations of European albums, and this one's by Maurice Tilio. I didn't get a chance to read this when I read the other one, but Nick and Jared, you guys both read it. What did you guys think?
Yep, I thought it was pretty great.
Jared, yeah, it was, the thing Fantagraphics are doing is instead of like more modern European stuff, they're going back to the stuff from the '60s. So these are like the classics that kind of started off the real comics craze in Europe. So this is just a straight up detective story, like a private eye dealing with cops and stuff.
Yeah, and he's got a little sidekick named Crackerjack, who's amazing.
Yeah, who's basically like the wise Kraken
Yeah, the bumbling fat sidekick
always
guy.
Always making terrible puns. And
it's like they're always sneaking around, and he's always like knocking over like flowers and stuff. And it's pretty awesome.
Always making fun of the poor police guy who actually has to work with this guy. But
yeah, it's neat. It's a neat little. I only read the first one. There's like two stories in here, and the first one's there's like a lighthouse, and there's a road that leads to it, and during high tide, the road gets completely covered, and somebody kind of disappears there. And
yeah, his car is found there, and they're like, was he murdered, and what happened, and why was he going out there in the first place? So it's a really solid, just good mystery. The second story was much more of a criminal breaks out of prison in a very improbable way, and it kind of stretches it into a almost more cartoony territory of how he did it.
That's all right, though.
Yeah. And then, of course, another, why did he break out? Where is he going? How did he escape? And stuff like that. So they're pretty good.
Now, would you guys say this is like a kid's, like kid-friendly book, like a Tintin? Or do you think it skews a little bit older?
I'd say a little bit older than Tintin, but still like teen.
I don't remember anything too bad.
It doesn't have any boobies or anything.
No, there's no nudity. There's no like extreme violence or anything. And I don't think there's any cursing.
No. But yeah, it was really, really fun. Yeah. I mean, I'd recommend it for everybody. That was really good.
Cool. Sounds good. Yeah, I tried to.
I mean, it's a murder mystery, so it's probably not good for like little kids, but
they need to know something.
10, 12, it's probably fine.
Yeah, there was so much stuff out this week. I didn't get to it, but I'm gonna read it for sure. It seems awesome.
Yeah, and the art's amazing.
And I assume it's good because the other book in the series was great. Sibylan versus Radicus by Raymond Marcharo. That's the second book that Fantagraphics put out in this series. And Jared, you want to tell people what Sibylan versus Radicus is about? I don't think Nick got to read this.
Before I jump in, I just want to say that Fantagraphics is actually publishing these in hardcover and like at the size they came out in Europe. So a lot of people like European stuff have been complaining that they've been shrunk down or done in soft cover when they come to America. So these are very nice editions.
Yeah, definitely.
Wow, how would you explain this one?
I can explain it if you want.
Yeah, that'd probably be good.
All right, so basically, I'd say the main character is Radicus more than Sibylan. Radicus
storyline.
Radicus is a pie thief. And he comes to
scoundrel.
He comes to a small wooded area where these other animals very happily live.
All the characters are animals.
Yeah, all the characters are animals. And he starts stealing pies from Sibylan. Basically, he's run out of the town and becomes a city rat. At which point, he orchestrates a coup in the city and becomes king of the city rats. And then he organizes all the city rats to come back to this small place.
To steal pies
and attack the village, basically, and take it over. And then it ends with like a giant war, basically, with like air combat and water combat,
toy planes and crows dive bombing people.
And he like puts all the residents of the town in a concentration camp.
Jesus.
But it's a kid's comic.
Yeah, it's very strange.
And the art's great. And this was from Spirou magazine, which was the same magazine that spawned Tintin.
Yep.
And I don't know if the other story was from Spirou magazine.
Yeah, they're both from Spirou.
But and it's got a very cool loose art style, and I'd say it's good for everybody. It's awesome.
Yeah, it seems good. I didn't get to read it, but
yeah, amazing art.
You do have Radicus is.
Yeah.
All right, up next we got Super Gods. This is a prose book by Grant Morrison. It's like 1 million pages long.
I don't read those things.
None of us read it, except Jared. He read like almost the whole thing.
It's 500 pages, and maybe I read 200 of it. But yeah, I got to read the subtitle, which is Super Gods, What Masked Vigilantes, Miraculous Mutants, and a Sun God from Smallville Can Teach Us About Being Human.
Nothing. Well, I didn't read it. What can they teach us?
it was pretty interesting. The stuff I read was largely the first half of the book is a history of the superhero development from, the appearance of Superman in action all the way up to the 60s or 70s, actually to the 80s, when Grant Morrison himself begins getting involved in writing superhero comics. So the early stuff is very much like, and then Batman came out, which was the mirror image of, the brightness of Superman. So it's a lot of stuff like that, which I'm sure anyone who's really interested in the history of comics has read or knows a lot about already, but it's still interesting to see it all put together like this, and it's well written.
Now, when I last talked to you, you were getting to the point where Grant Morrison started writing comics, though. I mean, does that part get a little more autobiographical and more interesting?
The problem with it, though, is since he's focused on superheroes, he says at one point, he's like, then I started writing for 2000 AD and doing this character, but it's not superheroes, so I'll move on. And you're like, but I want to know about that, So, but it definitely gets into some really cosmic Grant Morrison stuff where he's talking about like, oh, yeah, so then, they had Crisis on Infinite Earths where, they had the idea of all these different universes, which is what modern physics believes happens in the universe. And, it gets very cosmic science.
Well, he is Grant Morrison.
That's my point.
He was probably on LSD when he wrote it.
Yeah,
it's hard to get away from.
But overall, would you recommend it? You'd say more for, less for hardcore. Like, if you know a lot about the history of comics, maybe this isn't for you. But
no, I thought I knew a lot about it, and I'm still picking up stuff from it that I didn't know. So it was interesting like that. So, yeah, especially if you like comics history, I think it's worth picking up.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, I'm pretty interested in reading it. The only thing that kind of turned me off is Grant Morrison wrote a prose issue of Batman.
Yes.
That was all like purple prose, florid.
Purple prose.
There goes Nick. Sorry, Nick is singing it up. But
it's waking up.
But I understand that that was kind of deliberately written in a...
Yeah,
in
it's
a
not in that style at all, because I could not get through that issue of Batman, and this was entertaining. So.
Yeah, so Super Gods, I'd say check it out if you want to.
There you go.
All right, so moving on to not the best book of the week, but the book that I'm going to guess Nick is the most excited to talk about.
Yep.
Which
I
is
will agree.
Terminator RoboCop, Kill Human number one.
Kill Human, what a title.
This is by Rob Williams, who's writing the new Ghost Rider series, so he's definitely writing stupid comics right now.
Pulpy
and
fun.
And it's drawn by PJ Holden, and this is gonna be, I will say, Rob Williams, he's writing stupid comics, but I'm enjoying them. I like Ghost Rider, it was really dumb, but and I like this Terminator RoboCop book, and it's really dumb,
and it's got terrible art.
It has terrible art, but it's kind of entertaining.
It's pretty incredible.
Why don't you tell people what this is about?
Well, basically it just starts off, you know, like typical Terminator story. It's like these two people are running from Terminators, and they're like, oh, they've wiped out all the humans.
So yeah, obviously, then, late in the Terminator franchise.
And then they go into what I think is like a Terminator museum that they built.
It is.
The Terminator has built a museum for some reason.
So it's like the early technology that made Terminators and Skynet
that. In that museum is RoboCop and Ed 209 and, you know, RoboCop related things. And that lady accidentally activates RoboCop, and something crazy happens after that.
Yeah, basically she activates RoboCop to help her. And here's the thing. Most people aren't going to buy this comic. If you're going to buy this comic, don't listen for a second. All right, you ready? Close your ears. Go. La, la, la. At the end, RoboCop turns into a Terminator.
Yeah, well, he hacks. He tries to hack into their database, and they like take him over, and he just like shoots the humans.
Yeah, they're like, Officer Murphy has been assimilated, or whatever the Borg say.
But the thing that made me kind of excited is the description for the next issue. It's like RoboCop tries to override his programming and travels back in time to the point in like RoboCop 2 when they're attacking Cyberdyne. It's like and they're like, he's like, Sarah Connor is there, and also the T-1000. I was like, what is happening in this guy?
I think Rob Williams, the guy that wrote this, I think he's on Nuke.
He's on Nuke. He's on the Nuke.
Yeah, but I mean, this was a dumb comic, but it was, like I said, it was
highly entertaining.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll read or watch anything with RoboCop. I even watched all those Canadian movies, which are awful.
Oh, like
Prime Directives.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so that's basically all there is to say about that comic, because that's everything that happened in it. It takes about 30 seconds to read, unfortunately.
It's great. It's great.
Yeah, but it's great. All right, so we're going to move on to our pick of the week, which is Captain America and Bucky, number 620, which is the first issue of Captain America and Bucky. But basically, Captain America and Bucky, Captain America just split off. He's got his own series now. It's just called Captain America that started with a new number one.
Yep.
And Bucky died. And now there's Captain America and Bucky, which is going to pick up with the regular numbering of the Captain America series at 620. And it's about Captain America and Bucky.
And Bucky.
In World War II, basically. This is about... This
so
is
the
about,
whole series is going to be set back in the day?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah,
that's
and
cool.
It's all... this first storyline is about Bucky becoming Bucky.
Yeah.
And it's written by Ed Brubaker with the help of Mark Andreyko, who wrote the Fabulous Manhunter series for DC Comics.
Yeah.
And all the art's by Chris Samnee, who drew the very underrated Thor, the Mighty Avenger.
Yeah.
Yep. And the Serenity Shepherd story and lots of very,
it's really good.
Very good art.
And it's really well done. I would put it in, it's similar in tone to something like Mystery Men. I mean, it's a little bit lighter, I guess, but it kind of reminds me of some of those other sort of 40s stories, like All Winter Squad, but it's got its own kind of personality too. It's kind of hard to describe, but it's very well done, I feel like.
Yeah, it's weird. It's also narrated by what seems to be Bucky, but I'm like, is he alive? Because apparently at some point this is going to kind of tie into stuff that's happening currently, so we'll see, I guess.
But yeah, it's kind of surreal to read it after watching the Captain America movie, because this is the very much comics version of how a very young teenage Bucky becomes the sidekick to Captain America, and it makes perfect sense, and they explain it very well, and it's a really good story, but you're like, oh.
It is different. Yeah, it is completely different than the movie story.
Yeah,
just because Bucky is much younger in it.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
but it's great, and it's the very classic Bucky story retold in a very, very interesting way. It's just kind of, and you got to check it out. The art's amazing. I mean, Samnee is, I
think one of our favorite artists.
Yeah, he's one of our favorites. Anyway, I feel like we're all getting really tired here. This is starting to go off the rails a little bit, but that's fine, because that was our pick of the week.
Yeah.
So
I picked it.
Nick picked it. I picked it. Jared picked it.
Go buy it.
Oh, crap. We forgot to talk about League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. We'll talk about that next week.
Oh,
all right, cool. Yeah, yeah. And then Nick and I will have time to read it.
Oh yeah, I didn't read it. I just watched the movie.
Yeah, yeah. So, so we'll get to that next week. And
don't watch the movie. Read the comic.
And you guys have a good week. We'll see you next time.
All right.
Yeah.